Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
This past Wednesday night, we gathered here in this worship center as a church, and we spent time calling on the Lord to send revival to our nation. I'm titled this message today the same as what I called it this past Wednesday. I can't get away from it. Revive America. Revive America. How many of you know our nation desperately needs God to send revival to this nation? We need revival. We need God to revive America. And this past Wednesday night, we spent time calling on the Lord in different ways, believing for the Lord to send revival to the land. And this past week, as I was praying, as we came out of Wednesday night, just the overflow of being in the presence of God and in His goodness and preparing for this weekend, around Thursday, Friday, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about this service today, especially as we consider what's happening this upcoming week with the elections that are happening, more so as well with our national presidential election. And I felt like the putting something on my heart that He put on my heart just a few months ago when I was invited to speak at a outdoor revival service called God and Country. And God had put a message on my heart. And this past week when I was seeking the Lord about today, I just felt God impressing me that I would speak the message that God put onto my heart about revive America, especially because of the crossroads that we're at right now. And this message I believe God has put on my heart is very relevant to where we are in our nation right now. It's very relevant to where we are as a church as we have a desire for God to send revival on the land. Listen, I just pray that as God speaks to us this morning, that we would be open to what the Lord is trying to do in us. We pray we want revival. It needs to start right here with us. I pray for it. God, keep me on fire for You. Ignite a fire. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for God. And we all need that in our life. We need to have that same desire for God to do a revival in us. And I would just say, I don't sometimes communicating, we talked about this in my class on Sunday night, making sure you communicate with clarity. I feel like every message that God puts on my heart is a now message for where we are, to be relevant to where we are. But I really believe this is a now message more than ever for as we pray and believe God to revive America. I want you to do me a favor and open your Bibles this morning to the book of Nehemiah. Maybe a little bit challenging to find for some of you. Maybe. I don't know. It's in the Old Testament. Nehemiah is sandwiched in between the book of Ezra and the book of Esther, and you'll see the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a powerful book. If you get a chance this upcoming week, you need to, as your homework assignment, to read those chapters there and how powerful those principles and truth are to where we are. But when we read in the book of Nehemiah, we read about the wall of Jerusalem being rebuilt. And most importantly, we read about the people there being revived. There's a rebuilding of a culture. There's a rebuilding of a city. But more importantly, there's this revival that breaks out into the lives of the people. And I feel like that the Lord showed me this message about how Nehemiah's day parallels to situation and condition in our own country and also in the church, not just this church, but the church, that there's a parallel to Nehemiah's day that we see right now happening in America. Now, I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm going to focus in on verse 17 and 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Now, just to kind of, let's bring it into some context here. Nehemiah and a majority of God's people have been exiled out of their homeland, and they're in another territory, and Nehemiah has a job. He's the cupbearer for the king. Wouldn't you love to have his job? He's like the one who tastes the food and drinks the drinks before the king participates to make sure nobody's trying to take the king out. And so his job is to make sure nothing's been poisoned. And while Nehemiah is there in that land serving as the cupbearer to the king, he has favor with the king. He receives a report from those that are still back there in Jerusalem, and that place has been devastated. The city has been in ruins. The walls have been, they've crumbled. The gates to the city have been destroyed by fire. And there's a report that goes to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah hears about his homeland. He hears about what's going on in his own country, and he's heartbroken. And he's compelled to want to make a difference. And so he goes to the king and he receives favor from the king to go back to his homeland. And so Nehemiah goes back and he doesn't say anything to anybody. He doesn't make an announcement. I'm coming back and we're gonna do something to change this culture. And he goes back and he's very low key. And he goes out at night and he rides through the city there on horse, and he's there and he surveys the walls that have crumbled. He surveys the gates that have been burned, and he sees that everything is in ruins. And after making a survey of everything that's going on in his homeland, Nehemiah begins to share what God has put on his heart to the people. And that's where I want to pick up in verse 17. Nehemiah is getting ready to give a report of what is on his heart and what he's seen. And Nehemiah speaks to the people, and then he said to them, "You see the trouble we're in. You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Nehemiah talking to the people, about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, after hearing Nehemiah's report, and after hearing what he said, what the king had said to him about, go back and start rebuilding. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Heavenly Father, I pray for your anointing right now. I pray, God, that you would just bless your word. God, I truly believe, Lord, I am in your will right now. And I pray you would guide me through as this word is being preached, Lord, with your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look back through the history of our nation, the United States of America, we can look back through our history, and I know we've not been a perfect nation. There's nobody perfect but Jesus, amen? We've not been a perfect nation, but when we look back over our history in America, we can see the evidence of God's gracious hand at work, amen? We can see the evidence of God pouring out his blessings on this nation. We can see evidence of God doing a good work in this nation. When we look back, we can see, obviously, the gracious hand of God, like Nehemiah said. He says we can see the gracious hand of God. And when we look back, we can see the hand of God at work. But now, like right now, in our nation, over the last several years leading up to where we are now, as we look and we survey our present day culture and our nation and the spiritual condition of our nation, we would have to ask that same question: do you see the trouble we're in? Nehemiah said, you see the trouble we're in. It's a question almost. You see what I see, right? Nehemiah rode around the city and he saw the crumbled walls. He saw the gates that had been burned. He saw people that had turned away from God. And he says, you see the trouble we're in. And the question we ask this morning is, do you see the trouble we're in? Do you see the trouble we're in? We could ask the question like this to really make it more relevant: is America still one nation under God? Is America still one nation under God? That word, under God, that those two words, under God, it means when we're under God, that God is over us. That means that God is over us. Under God means that we humble ourselves. Pastor Hannah led a prayer Wednesday night about humility. And I shared with her before she prayed that humility means to bow down, to make yourself low. And we need to make sure that we humble ourselves and make ourselves low so we're under God. And we're under God means we humble ourselves to God so he can be over us, reigning his love over our lives. Don't you want that for you and your family? I want to be under God. I want him to be over me, reigning in my life with his love. That's what I desire for my life. That's what I desire for you. But I back up to those two questions. Do you see the trouble we're in? And are we still one nation under God? And I would have to answer, yes, we are in trouble. And no, we're not one nation under God. But to me, we're a nation that has turned away from God. We've turned away from God. Look at what's going on in our culture right now. It's been happening for years and years. You can see that we've just slowly, but now it's at a fast pace. We have turned away from God. And I'm not here to attack any party or defend one over the other, but just to bring you to where we are right now. If you don't think we're a nation that has turned away from God, you need to wake up. Because when you look at what's going on around us right now, with the leaders of our nation, even in the pulpits of the nations across America, you take, for instance, right now that you can have a presidential rally and someone declares in that rally that Jesus is Lord and they're told that you're at the wrong rally. Friend, let me tell you right now, Jesus is welcome. He ought to be in every rally. He ought to be at every rally. We shouldn't be rejecting Jesus and telling someone they're at the wrong rally. And you want to know that we've turned from God when there's a on-site place lined up at a convention there for presidential candidates where you can worship while the convention's going on? Listen, I'm just telling you, we have, and I'm not defending one way or the other. There's stuff on both sides, but I'm just bringing some things that have been very relevant in the news lately, and it's proof that we have turned away from God. We've turned away. We're no longer one nation under God because we have removed the Lord. We have rejected Jesus from our houses, from our schoolhouses, from the White House, and even the church house. And we need God to revive America. And because we have rejected God and turned away from God in all aspects, really, in our society right now, the result is the country is in trouble. The country's in ruins, just like in Nehemiah's day. The walls have crumbled. The foundations have crumbled. The country has crumbled. And yet, far worse, churches have crumbled. And we like, oh, wow, you know, should we be surprised? Should we be surprised when we look around today? And I'm talking about even the church. I'm telling you, even the church that will promote and parade sin and wickedness. How can we expect God to bless America when we glorify sin instead of glorifying our Savior? God help us. No, we need to pray. God help us, it's sad. How can we expect God to send revival when we reject Jesus and the authority of his word over our lives? I'm talking to the church. How can we expect God to send revival in our life if we reject Jesus and the authority of his word over our life? Our country is in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. And in the midst of all the trouble, people are fearful, people are worried, people are stressed, people don't know what to do. Listen, people have put a false hope in one presidential candidate over the other. Can I give you some enlightening news today, friend? It don't matter if it's Trump or if it's Harris or whoever. They don't have the power to fix what's going on here in this nation. Only Jesus Christ can fix what's going on in this nation today. Hallelujah. The only answer is Jesus Christ. We need a Jesus revival. It's something that's dead alive again. And some of you need revival in your life. You've been spiritually dead. Christians, spiritually dead. Churches, spiritually dead. We need Jesus, the baptizer into Holy Spirit and fire, to breathe life onto us again and stir us up and get our soul ignited for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. Revive America. Revive the church. And so how can we experience this Jesus revival in our country? I want to give you just a few things here that we can see from Nehemiah's life. We must first weep for America. We must weep for America. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. He said, Nehemiah, when I heard these things, when the report came to the other land where I was at serving the king, he says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah was so burdened with the condition of his homeland that he started weeping. Nehemiah cared so much for his country that he started weeping. He was weeping because he loved his land. He was weeping because he loved the people. He cared and he began to weep. I remember reading the story about the reporter who came up to the man on the street and interviewed him, said, you know what the two biggest problems in America are? And the man replied, I don't know and I don't care. And the reporter said, you have both of them. And that's our problem today. We don't know and we don't care. We don't know and we don't care. The problem today with most people, including God's people, is that no one seems to care or have a burden for the spiritual condition of our country. The walls around us have been crumbling. The gates to our cities have been destroyed. And many of us have our heads stuck in the sand. We're so wrapped up in our own lives, our own selves, our own world, that we forget that God has what he's called us to do, what he's called us to be. And in this time that we live in, for such a time as this, God has called us to be salt and light. God has called us to be salt and light to this world. He's called us to be bold witnesses for Christ. He's called us to be ambassadors. Listen, we're not to put our head in the sand and check out. We're to engage the culture. We're not of the world, but we're here in the world, and we're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God help us. But you're not going to have that desire to do that if there's not a weeping inside of you because of what you see. A weeping for the people, a weeping for the land. We should be weeping in repentance of our sins. We should be weeping for a spiritual awakening. We should be weeping for revival. We should be weeping for lost souls to be saved. We should be weeping for God to work through us in these last days. God, help us to have a heart that will be broken, a spirit that will weep for what we see going on around us. Yes. What's amazing to me is years later, many, many years later, Jesus actually went into Jerusalem. You look in Luke 19, 41. The same city that Nehemiah was weeping over, Jesus wept over that same city. The Bible says in Luke 19, 41, that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus, think about it, Nehemiah wept over it, and then there came a day when our Lord and Savior would weep over the land, over Jerusalem. And we should be weeping today over people who are rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus was weeping because the people had rejected him, and we should be weeping because today people are rejecting Jesus Christ. I thank God for this country. I know it's not a perfect country. I thank God for it. Just by God's providence, I was born in the United States. I don't have no choice about that, but I thank God I was. And I thank God for this country. But my heart weeps because of all the wickedness and darkness that is at work in this nation. Yesterday, you can ask my wife, I don't know what it was about yesterday. There was something on me, a heaviness, a burden about just the condition of what's going on around us, just hearing about the wickedness and the evil that was going on. It was like there was an atmosphere that was there trying to push through it yesterday. I told Lisa, we need to pray right now. We need to pray. I just felt like there was a darkness coming on the land, more so than what we already have, because I know the devil knows his days are limited and he's going to do everything he can while he can. And may our hearts weep for people to turn to Jesus across this land. Listen, don't try to form a weapon against somebody and try to debate them and argue with them. Don't try to form a weapon. Ask God to give you a weeping heart for them, that you would weep for them. They're confused. They're deceived. They don't have Christ in their life. They've rejected him. Don't come at them with weapons. Come at them with weeping. And let them know that the Lord loves them. We need to pray, God, give us weeping hearts to send revival. And we need to also not only weep for America, but we need to stand for America. Listen to what Nehemiah said in chapter 4, verse 14. It's amazing how the Lord, man, he puts these words in here. After I looked things over, after Nehemiah had looked things over, the Bible says that he stood up. The Lord put that in the Bible. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them, talking about the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons and daughters, your wives, and your homes. Church, listen to me. As we stand and follow Jesus in these last days and work toward winning souls and making disciples, you need to be ready for opposition. I just said it. The devil knows his time is limited. He's going to do everything he can while he can to create as much havoc as he can. And there's going to be opposition. The enemy tried to distract them, to frustrate them, to confuse Nehemiah and the people of God so the rebuilding of the wall would stop. And our enemy, who is the devil, and the devil is real. I don't know if you believe that or not, but he is real. And our enemy, the devil, is out. The Bible says he's out to steal and to kill and destroy. He's out to do the same thing in your life that he did in Nehemiah's life. He's out to stop you in your life. He's out to stop this nation. He's out to stop the church. And he would love to do nothing more than to distract you, frustrate you, and pull you away from the work of God and the will of God. You need to beware of Satan because he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. You need to be aware, but you need to be amazed at God because God is great and God is awesome. Nehemiah said it. He says, my Lord is great and my Lord is awesome. The enemy can come in like a flood, and he will, but you need to remind yourself, Jesus Christ on our side, and if he is for us, who can be against us? Nehemiah said, listen, the enemy may come, the nation may be crumbled, but you can look up and declare, and you need to remember, right in the face of the enemy, remember, the Lord is great, and the Lord is awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to declare that until I don't have another breath in my lungs. The Lord is great and the Lord is awesome. And the cities can be on fire around me and all hell can be breaking loose. But I'm going to declare, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's great and he is awesome. Nehemiah stood up in the face of the enemy. And the problem today for most Christians, not the Christians in this church, the problem today for most Christians, and even Christians in this church, we're afraid to stand up in the face of the enemy. Instead of standing on God's eternal, unchanging word, God's people are cowering and God's people are compromising the word of God. Instead of being doers of the word, many Christians are doing nothing. We must stand on God's word. There's a teaching out there right in the culture right now that, you know, that everybody has truth. Your truth is your truth. Your truth is your truth. And so there's really no truth because you have your truth. I have my truth. In other words, there's no absolutes. But that is very dangerous to say that there's no absolutes, because when you say there's no absolutes, you're saying there is no God. But we know God is the ultimate absolute. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus declared this, the Son of God. He says, I am the way, I am the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. No matter what the liberal colleges are teaching, no matter what liberal churches are preaching, no matter what the president and the Congress passes laws, no matter what the Supreme Court hands down, no matter what the media promotes, the only word that is absolute truth is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And God's word is a plumb line that shows me what is right and what is wrong. God's word is a lamp unto my feet that keeps me from sin. God's word is a plumb line showing me what is light and what is darkness. And the enemy can do all he wants. Listen to me, church. The enemy can do all he wants. The enemy will come and he can try to remove it. He can try to rewrite it. He can try to reject it. He can try to spin it. But the word of God says in Isaiah 48 that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. Hallelujah to the word of God. And God help his people to stand on the word. Come on, God help his people to stand on the word. You need to stand on the word. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the promises of God. Those of you around the altar this morning praying for healing, stand on the word of God. Those of you that are in a battle this morning, stand on the word of God. Even in the face of opposition, stand. Stand for the word. Stand for the word. When you go vote Tuesday, stand for the word of God. Stand for Christ. Stand for righteousness. Stand for holiness. Stand for love. Stand for light. Stand for marriage between a man and a woman. Stand for children. Stand for family. Stand for law enforcement. Stand for Israel. Whatever you do, just stand on the word of God. Stand on the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1, this verse jumped out at me. I was studying in Philippians. You know, we've been doing a study in Philippians for several weeks now on joy. In fact, there was one more message about unshakable joy, but I knew today God had told me, preach this message. But listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm. Say stand. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. I don't know why, but when I read that, those first two words jumped off at me. Whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever happens. Listen to me, church. Whatever happens this upcoming week in the election, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, come on. Yeah, that's a good place to clap. Whatever happens, whatever happens. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens in your life, tomorrow, today, whatever happens, just continue to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens with your body, whatever happens in your family, whatever happens, just continue conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, and don't be frightened by the enemy. No matter what happens, no matter whatever happens, you just keep standing. Keep standing on the word of God. Whatever happens, if you get hit by the enemy and you take a bullet and you take a fiery dart and you get wounded and you start to feel like you're going to fall over, and whatever you got to do, prop up against another believer. Hold on to the word of God. Just keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. No matter what happens in your life, keep standing on the word of God. And we also not only need to stand, but we need to pray for America. We need to pray. Nehemiah, if you go to Nehemiah chapter 1, and I apologize to keep kind of going back and forth here, but Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, listen to his prayer. Nehemiah said, he's talking to the Lord in prayer, and he says, "Oh Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God," giving glory to him right away, "who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my fathers, have committed against you." Times were desperate, and Nehemiah prayed. And in times of desperation, how many of you know we need to pray? Billy Graham once said this right here: "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get them down on their knees." To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. Can I just declare to you today a word of hope that God can bless America again? God can heal America. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Friend, I'm telling you right now, if we will just pray, if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, Nehemiah prayed for repentance of his own sins and even the sins of his family and the people of God. If we'll just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive us of our sins," and humble ourselves before the Lord and seek his face. I am optimistic. I know God is going to work and he's going to do his will. I know some people say, "Well, why even engage in any of the culture? Why even get involved? God's going to do what God wants." Yeah, but you know what? He wants to use his church to do that. And we need to pray. So this Sunday, I'm asking you right now, those of you that will participate, this upcoming Tuesday, I'm asking you from sun up to sundown if you will pray and you will fast for our nation. Would you do that, please? Would you do that? This upcoming Tuesday, from sun up to sundown, I'm asking you to pray and fast for our nation. Pray and fast for our nation now, and pray and fast for our nation in the future. It's all in God's hands, and we want to just pray and believe that his perfect will be done. So I hope you'll join me this Tuesday as we do that, pray and fast. Pastor Kevin, if you'll come, brother, thank you. You know, I read this story here, and I shared it in that revival, that years ago, we had an American submarine that actually sank on the coast, on the east coast of the United States. And when that submarine went down, they sent rescue teams there, dive rescue teams, to try to see if they could rescue those on the submarine. And the divers that went down to rescue those that were on the submarine testified that when they got there to where the submarine was, they could hear tapping. And one of the divers picked up that they were sending out Morse code tapping on the side of the submarine. And they were asking through Morse code, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" And I believe there's some tapping going on right now with people in this nation. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? And friend, I want to tell you today, friend, there is hope. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's our hope. He's Jesus Christ is the only hope for America. He's the only hope for your life and my life. My hope is not in a political party. My hope is not in a candidate. My hope, I'm standing, and my hope is on Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. Come on, he's our only hope. I have hope today in Jesus Christ because I know he's working. I know he's working. Don't you get caught up in that spin that's going on through media and that's all you see. Some of you need to turn to Fox News and the scene. You need to turn that mess off and get in the Word of God. Jesus is working. Souls are being saved. Can I tell you that right now? Souls are still being saved. They're being saved in this church. They're being saved in other churches. There's lives that are being transformed by the power of God. God is taking the pieces of people that's been broken in their life and he's putting things back together. There is a move of God in different places. Some of the college campuses on the nation, in this nation, we see revival taking place. There's a fire in this generation and the next generation for the things of God. Some of the youth that are in this church, they're more on fire than the parents are. We got little kids over there rooted more on fire for God than their mom and daddies are. We need God to revive us. Revive America. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. There's hope for this nation and there's hope for you. His name is Jesus. And friend, if you walked in this morning and you need forgiveness of your sin, you need freedom from your sin, Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you free. For whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Only through the blood of Jesus can your sins be washed away. And you may have walked in here today and your life has crumbled. Your walls in your life have crumbled. Maybe things have been destroyed. Maybe your life lies in ruins. And you're dealing with the damage that sin has caused in your life. I have some good news for you today. If that's you, if you're watching on live stream, if you're here this morning and your life has crumbled and things have been damaged because of what sin is doing in your life, I have great news for you. And the good news is God so loved the world. That means you and me, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whosoever would believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus can forgive you. He can rescue you. You may be tapping this morning and you're wanting to know, is there any hope for me, preacher? Oh yeah, there's hope for you. Just take a hold of the hand of Jesus. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask him to give you freedom from that sin. And he'll give you a new life. He can restore you and he can revive you. Nobody looking around. I'm asking you if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes. I'm asking for everybody, every Christian right now to pray. Just pray. If you're here this morning, my friend, and your life has crumbled and lies in ruins because of the power of Satan and the power of sin, and you need God to revive you. You need God to do a rebuilding work in you, a restoration in you. You need to be saved. And you want me to pray for you, I want you to do me a favor. Just so we'll know how to pray in this service now. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, repent of your sins, receive Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Nobody looking around, but you want prayer. Would you lift your hand right now and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Is there any others? Is there any others? Right there where you are, right there where you are, sir, ma'am, just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, and sin is separated from me from you, and the wages of sin is death, and that death is an everlasting hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins. And by faith, I receive Christ into my life to be my Savior and to be my Lord. And I turn from my wickedness and I turn to Jesus to walk with him, to follow him. all the days of my life, all the days of my life. I pray that right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you all stand with me, please, everyone? Just stand. I'm asking all of you to just do me a favor and just do, would you just raise your hands up to the heavens right now? Would you do that? And would you just begin to pray with me, and let's pray that God would stir us to weep and to stand and to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you would revive America. God, that you would revive your people, the church. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would stir us, Lord, to weep for souls, God, to weep for this nation. God, I pray that you would put a burden on us, God. God, not to be mad, God, and not to be weaponized, God, but to have a weeping heart, God, for what we see, the brokenness we see, the damage we see, the ruins that we see. May it cause us to weep, Lord. And we weep, Lord, for repentance, God. Forgive us of our sins, God. Forgive this nation of our sins, God. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And God, we pray right now, Lord, that you would help us not only to weep, but God, that we would stand on the promises of God, stand on the truth of your word. Help us, God, not to cower. God, I pray right now, Lord, not to help us not to compromise, but may we stand on the authority of your word, the promises of your word. And God, I pray that we would have a heart to pray, that we would pray for the nation, God, that we would pray for America. We would pray for the church. We would pray for one another, God. And that we would see you, Lord, heal this land. Heal this land. Heal our homes. Heal our communities, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks right now.